We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is OMF on EEI.
This 1-1 pitch from Reyes. And there is a shot to center field. Looking up is Rodriguez, but that ball is gone. And Tristan Casas goes yard again in Yokohama. It's 2-0 for Team USA.
Casas?
I heard that Yokohama Stadium brought a little tear to my eye.
I thought his name was Casas.
Casas.
My glory days.
Great.
Yokohama Bay stock.
How about are you getting
it's nostalgic? A third bomb.
It's so third Christian, yeah, Christian smartly tried to nicely cover up a question. Obviously, giving Cora the opportunity to answer whether Casas was coming back or not. And he set it up differently. But this was the answer by Cora.
Obviously, is a different tournament, right? Nothing against the other teams that they're facing, but I think the quality of the pitch is not the same as here. But he's progressing, man. He's done an amazing job, you know, since spring training all the way till last night, you know, to keep getting better as a hitter. You know, this guy is part of the future, like we always said. But as of now, you know, it's not something that we're looking, you know, we haven't talked about.
He's been so freaking good in this tournament, and you are desperate right now. Why not bring him up?
Well, here's the thing. Remember, too, the home run he hit today against the Dominican Republic, he hit it off one of his teammates. So he hit a home run off a double-A pitcher today. You know, and this goes back to, like, the Durant thing was the same way. It's like, who's he doing it off of?
Right.
He had a home run in the Olympics. Bring him up. He had a home run off a double-A pitcher. The same level that he's at. And, you know, he 271. He's got a 777 OPS. So he's not tearing it up. I do think he is the future. I think he is a beast. But, you know, I tweeted out earlier about, like, the conversations. I, you know, like you said, and they say they're still not having conversations. But I know, like, 3-4 weeks ago, it wasn't even a conversation. It wasn't. And all I'm saying is, like, is there scenarios? They think of everything. Is there Schwarber comes back? And even Alex said, I don't know why everybody thinks he's going to play first. You know, and even said that to us. You know, and it's like he's an outfielder. He's going to try to play first once in a while, but he's an outfielder. So let's say Schwarber comes up here and he can't play first base. You know, and there's another injury to say, like, Kike Hernandez or Arroyo comes back and gets hurt again. And here you are in September and you're like, what do we do? You know, we're short a guy. Like, all I'm thinking is there somebody in that room saying, what do we think about Casas? Should we discuss it again?
Casas.
I mean, we're talking about, like, can we get a guy for 3 weeks, doesn't even wake up from his dream and just gets hot?
I don't know,
but I think it's an extreme long shot, first off. But I just wonder if there's more of a conversation, because I know there was zero three or four weeks ago.
So I could not think of a name. I was actually joking. You tweeted it out. I was like, can you literally skip AAA and go straight to the majors from AA? Like, the difference between the two has got to be astronomical as far as speed, talent, I mean, everything, just intelligence. Like, plate discipline, really? I mean, I guess in AA. But he mentioned Devers, and didn't you look at it?
No, he played nine games in AAA.
But even that nine games is a week and a half?
The only guy I could think of, and I'm sure there's a couple more, was Manny Machado. Long time ago. But I think, you know, it can be done. There's a couple things in the way.
They're not that desperate.
Number one,
though,
he's not in a 40-man. I don't think that's an issue. If they really want him, they're going to make a room, okay? The other thing, you can't go from AA to AAA this year. I mean, AA to the big leagues. You can't do it because of COVID. You got to be in AAA first. You
well,
gotta
how
be,
long?
You got to be tier one. I'm just saying, you got to go. You got to be a AAA roster to come to the big leagues because you got to be tier one to go through the protocol, go through the testing.
And one of them was also Kyle Schwarber. He went from Double A, I think it was Daytona at that point in Florida, to major leagues with the Cubs. Sure.
So I mean, it has happened. You got to have a really advanced approach at the plate. Because it's not just a great talent, but you got to be able to command the strike zone. You got to do a. I mean, it is a special player. I don't see it happening. All I'm saying is that is there scenarios of injuries to where you sit there and say, okay, what are we doing? I mean, we got a kid in Double A. Do we at least see what he looks like? Do we just see what he looks like coming off this Olympic Games? Do we get him to Triple A when he comes back from Tokyo? To just give him 2 weeks there to see what it looks like for a couple weeks?
Well, I think you'd be stupid not to.
I don't think they want to, but, well, you know, I mean, again, it's about
staying
healthy.
Desperate. Yeah, they may be desperate in this situation. If these guys don't start hitting in the next couple of weeks, they may be in a desperate situation. Let me go to the phone calls with the Red Sox. And are people concerned right now? This is not the same team that we have watched through the first 3 months. Are you concerned right now? Here's Ross in Worcester. Go ahead, Ross.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up?
Good. Hey, so Lou, on July 6th, you tweeted that the Red Sox have the deepest pitching staff in baseball.
Yeah.
Do you still feel that way? And Karrabiss kind of admitted last night that he's starting to feel a little nervous. The Yankees are hot on their tail. Did you see those two pitchers for New York last night?
Yes.
It seems like Rizzo has completely changed that team. Do you still feel like you're okay? You said Rizzo was your fourth choice.
Yes.
Do you see maybe now you're change your mind a little?
No, I'm not changing my mind on that. He was my fourth choice. Aguilar, Santana, and Sculp would have been better. Those guys were unavailable, which means he should have been the first choice if you can't get the other guys. The deepest rotation part? No. I mean, no. Right now, they're a mess. You mentioned it on July 3rd. And they got about a 9 ERA since July 3rd. You know, but deep is different than best. And that was the biggest issue with that, right? Deep. They have the deepest bullpen. I'll stick with that. They got seven or eight high-leverage guys, the teams that would love to have their seventh or eighth. Like the kid they just picked up, Robles, is probably your eighth best reliever, seventh best reliever, you know, or in that mix of whatever it is. I mean, they've got seven, eight guys to turn to. In this rotation, they had five guys, and you got Hauk and you got Sale coming back. There's a huge difference between deep, Ross, and best. I never said they were the best. That would be stupid.
No, I didn't say best. I said deep.
Yeah, but I still think they're deep.
That kid last night, I mean, he throws hard, no doubt. But, I mean, did you see that slider he threw? He almost hit
Who are we talking about?
The guy on deck.
Who are we talking about?
The kid that was throwing like 100 for, last night for the Sox. He gave up the...
Oh, Rios.
Yeah,
he's intriguing.
Deck.
He's your 14th best pitcher. But I think teams would love to have him as your 14th best pitcher. I'm just saying, they would love to have a kid who throws slider split 101 as their 14th best pitcher. That's who he is. So there's a big difference between deep and good. Their rotation's a flipping mess right now.
No, you never said they were the best.
Yeah, people like Milwaukee's better. Yeah, right. Of course they're better. Baltimore, you know, Dodgers are better. But, you know, and the bullpen is good. They got three good arms out there in Milwaukee. They don't have seven. You know, Dodgers don't have seven, eight in your pen.
So it's great being deep out there, but you need somebody. Well,
your rotation's a mess.
Right, you need somebody in that
rotation.
It's
fair to say the last month, I think it's gone south.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But you don't have a stopper. You have nobody.
You got your guy tonight.
E-Rod, nobody.
He better show up tonight. He better go six and win this ball game.
See, and then that's the other aspect of this. So, and Corey even talked about it, how even last night, you're like, all right, listen, we have an opportunity to win this game. Here we go again. Here we go again. Okay, well, they don't succeed. Now, you know, you talk about playing loose and feel like you'll win every single game. Now the pendulum swings the other way, and now you're filled with self-doubt. You're inconsistent. You don't believe that the guy's going to. Now, suddenly, the whole Cora magic, who was like, he's got a crystal ball. Let's change up the, you know, the order and, like, get a lot of excitement and throw Duran in there. And, like, everybody's hitting home runs like crazy. Suddenly, that's gone. I think, like, Xander talking about the biggest game. Yes, if you do not stop the bleeding right now, if you don't kind of just stone cold kill it, then you're in trouble. Because even last night on the TV broadcast, they were talking about they had a big full screen about all the times where they had like a two-game skid, a three-game skid, followed by a day off. And then their record after that day off was like 7-2. And then the next time it happened, it was like, you know, 6-3. And then it was 7-2 again. Something really obvious, obvious sign that, listen, they needed a break. They got the break. And then they came back and they played better. So far, the day off, although it was needed, that hasn't really kind of, you know, it started great last night. You thought, okay, here we go. We're starting fast, 2-0. And then next thing you know, like, yeah, your bases are loaded and there's no outs.
It was Tiger mistakes, though, early on. It wasn't what you were necessarily
doing. Still, fine. You're still, you know,
benefiting
from them.
The problem is, like, we're talking about this tough stretch, and he goes back to the after the All-Star break and all the games in the division. And that wasn't what I was talking about. I was the tough stretch is mentally trying to convince yourself that, you know, we didn't do enough at the deadline. We got to hold out for about 2 weeks. Because starting, say, August 13th against Baltimore at home, maybe that's the night Sale starts. And Sale's in the rotation at that point. With Tanner Houck, Eovaldi, Pivetta, and Erod. That's your rotation. You know, and then maybe that's when Schwarber is on his rehab assignment. And maybe a few days later, you know, a week later, you get Schwarber. So, but until then, you know, you're looking at a week, you know, of Detroit and Toronto and Tampa Bay. You know, and what you've already played here in the last 4 or 5 games. So you got about 8-9 more games to sit there and say, we got to figure out a way to get through this.
Yeah.
We're going to get a little burst when we see Sale on the mound. We know Houck is going to be on the mound. Our rotation we're going to feel better about. And Schwarber's right around the corner. You know, there needs to be – they got to get their breath back. You know, you got to get your second breath right now because I feel like they've run out of gas. That's just the way they look. They've run out of gas.
I agree. And Xander Bogaerts talked about Sunday being a must game, did not get it. I would say tonight is a must game.
What was yesterday then? If Sunday was a must win, what the hell was yesterday?
They're all must games now. The reason I say this is a must game is you have far more confidence in Erod than you do with Garrett Richards. You were going into that game last night, Lou, with one hand behind your back, knowing that you don't have a best starter.
Talking about Erod, saying he's starting to turn the thing around, and people are like, you know, where did he turn it around? He sucked all year. Well, before the migraine game in New York, his 5 starts before that game, he was 2-1 with a 2.83 ERA, and his team was 4-1 in those games. See, you can't go on a 15-game stretch until you do it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. Right. So he did it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. A 2.83 ERA in 5 starts? Right now, that looks like Cy Young compared to the rest of this rotation. Okay, so that's called turning it around. And then you go get a migraine. And then you turn around the next start, and you end up getting your boobs ripped off against Toronto. So, okay, once again, it's August 4th. I need 12 starts the rest of the year from Erod that are more like the 5 he had before the migraine. 12 more starts. It's time for you to go earn your money in the offseason if you think who you are. It's time for you to step up, stop feeling sorry for yourself, stop moping around a goddamn mound, pissed off with a bloop hit here and a bloop hit there. Take the goddamn ball and shove it up someone's ass like one time, and it's got to start tonight, period. It's got to start tonight. Enough with the 4-inning crap. Like, it's got to happen.
I'm surprised you didn't play Angry Lou music.
I know.
Like,
that was close to Angry
is
Lou
that a,
level,
is that
wasn't
a
it?
Pep talk or a threat?
I don't care what it is.
Here's the other one.
It doesn't matter. He's not listening.
Here's the other one. I didn't buy Alex. When Alex talked about we need to go back to April where we're just getting 5 innings, you're playing a game tonight, then you got an afternoon game tomorrow. You've got Barnes, doesn't have COVID, but apparently he's under the weather. So, and he's available, but he's under the weather. So you need Erod tonight, I think, to give you 6 solid innings.
He's not talking about Erod, though. You know what I mean? Right. He's talking about, you know, the Martin Perez of the first 2 months where it was 5-2, 5-3, you know, 5 2/3, 1 run, 2 runs, 5 2/3, 2 runs, 5 innings, 4 runs, 3 runs, 2 runs. You know, like, that's, he's talking about those guys. Pivetta, Perez, you got to expect more from Eovaldi and Erod.
You got to get it tonight. He's got to go deep into that game tonight. Here's Alex next up here on OMF. Hey, Alex.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thank you for taking the call. I was listening to you now. You know, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I was just about going to go try and Google this to double check. But in 2014, I remember like all the talk, you know, about Mookie. And Mookie, I believe, flew through AA in like 50 games, went up to AAA for like 20 games, and then came up to the Sox. So I think that, you know, he did it. So maybe Cassis can do it. But Mookie, I'm 99% sure.
He split the year. I mean, he played 54 games in AA, then went to AAA for 45. He got 211 at-bats at AAA. That's not skipping AAA.
My mistake.
Yeah, you want to check it before the call.
Yeah. No, I'm saying that's not... Here, you can take a shot. It's just you're taking a shot in the dark is what you're doing. Because you're going to realize that like, Marwin and Danny Santana and Bobby Dalbec ain't going to cut it.
No.
And that you actually need Schwarber in the outfield.
Right.
Now, I'm just saying, Schwarber's in the outfield. Kike's at first. Maybe Arroyo's in first. Kike's in center. Schwarber's at first, rather. Arroyo second, Kike in center, right? Okay, what if there's an injury there? Like, Duran, I don't know how you can be that fast and swing and miss so much. Like, did he just fall in love with this power stroke? Like, hitting home runs at the wind tunnel out there in Polo Park and seeing off? You know, Marwin Gonzalez hit a ball 457 feet the day I was there?
Oh, that ball's
really? Is that even possible? No, isn't Worcester impossible. Like
is it just
the elevation in Worcester? Isn't it like Colorado? It's why they get snow every goddamn week.
No, I don't think it's like
week.
Colorado.
But I'm just saying, yeah. It's the highest elevation. A ball flies out of that place. So how are you that fast? You know, you laughed at me when I compared him to Donnie Sadler. You know, the guy was lightning fast, but he wanted to be a power hitter. How are you that fast? And don't put the ball in play. You saw a couple of those hits last night. Just put the ball in play. Hit it weak. Beat out a ground ball. You can't strike out 40% of the time and be that fast.
No. I think some of the speed is overrated. When you look at production from a player, it's nice to have speed. Don't get me wrong. But is it more important than the other elements of the game? I'm not sure.
Maybe we should talk about this before. Maybe I should do it like Eck. Hold on. Let me try. Like when you're that fast, like don't you kind of have to put the ball in play more?
I love that. Like, I love it. He's learned how to protect himself from insulting people, so nobody yells at him on the plane now
by asking questions.
Everything is questions.
I tell you what, man. If I struck out that many times, I'd jump off a bridge, wouldn't you? Or shouldn't you?
I mean, he's got to four. He's got to go more than four innings, doesn't he?
I mean, what I liked yesterday was
this is great. Isn't this great?
I was like, so the bases are drunk, okay? Which I love, okay? It's not loaded, they're drunk. And he said they're going, they go to their cards. They keep going to the card in a situation like this. If I had to go to my card like that in a high leverage situation, I'd be so mad at myself, right?
Wouldn't you be?
I'd want to quit, right? It's like everything's in the form of a question. So he's ripping.
Well, it's a lot different
he's
than
ripping
saying,
him.
Yeah, no, he's very smart. It's a lot different than saying, David Price. This kid's got to put the ball in play more. Instead, you come out and say, I mean, you know, he's so fast. You'd want to put him ball in play more, right?
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 Am I right?
Like, if I struggle like that, I would consider giving up my boyhood dream, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
I haven't thought about this, but it's
everything
a good way.
Is in the form of
it
a question.
It is a good way.
It's a good way of getting around the whole cancel culture.
Exactly.
I just asked a question.
Trump did some really good things, right?
I wasn't criticizing him. I was just saying, I mean, like, Bobby Dalbec, like 2-0, 3-1. He seems to foul the ball off to the right a lot, doesn't he?
Doesn't he? That was Milbury's mistake. He didn't
somebody,
phrase it
yeah,
in a
that
question.
Is. I tell you what, that is a. He's going to be really upset that we figured him out.
Yeah.
Like, we broke the code. We know what you're doing.
I mean, Erod's got to turn this thing around soon, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like,
he's
going to
eventually get a hit, right?
All right, we're going to talk some football. We're going to talk some football coming up, aren't we? We're going to talk some football. We had fights yesterday at two training camps. One coach loved it. The other coach hated it. What's the difference? What's the difference? We'll do it next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So isn't it interesting that yesterday, and it's day two or day three of pads with NFL teams, that we had two brawls yesterday.
Ooh.
So we had one in the Alliance camp and a larger one in the Giants camp. And it was interesting because the coaches treated it much differently. So here's the Hardo coach of the Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell.
You know what? I want to see these guys compete. Like, I want to see them go all the way to the point to where it is almost an all-out brawl, but we're not getting that. Like, it's so heated and it's so hot, and guys are trying to win so badly that we get better. Because I think that's the only way you really get better. I want to see guys strain. Like, I want to see you strain to win in your gap. I want to see you strain to not be blocked as a defensive end or a nose. A receiver, same thing, man. I want to see you strain. I want to see you finish at the second level.
Is it any surprise that Dan Campbell was so excited? He probably said, let's do the Oklahoma drill, even though the NFL.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do it anymore.
Let's go do it.
It's funny. Like, he wants you to almost fight, but not almost. Fight.
Yeah.
He wants you to get, I want you to flirt with the edge, but don't fight.
So it's let me ask you. Do NFL players live on that
no,
edge?
No. It's he's telling you the exact opposite of what you should be doing. Like, the very nature of him telling you to do that is what creates a fight. It's what promotes fighting and anger and attitudes. Like, that's exactly what it'll do.
Yeah, no player, you know, on a field like that is going to get to the point where they're going to want to fight and then be like, okay, now that I got you here, stop.
Yeah. Now that I got you at the verge of fighting,
I'm glad
I want
you're
you to
here.
Stop and restrain yourself.
Now listen, stop. I know the guy just told you to relax, which is usually what it takes, you know? Sometimes you have a guy like, hey, relax. What? Re-relax. And then next thing you know, it's escalated, right? But to ask an NFL player out there hitting people to get to the point where you want to fight, but at that very moment to control yourself and not get into a fight, no. You are telling guys to get into a fight.
Fighting is so overrated in the NFL anyways. And it's not like, what do these guys have to be irritated by? What do they have to be upset about? What kind of a lingering animosity would they have after running around in their underwear for the past week? They have one padded practice. Who's holding a grudge right now?
Well, they're probably pissed
Nobody.
Off. They might have been pissed off at somebody on the opposite side of the ball, and this was the first time you could really do something because you've got pads. Now, I thought it was totally interesting that Dan Campbell treated it this way. Joe Judge, on the other hand, was mortified. He had the guys running laps for 5 hours last night, and then he talked about how bad it was. But this is Daniel Jones, because the worst part about the Giants' little fight was that Daniel Jones, their franchise quarterback, was on the bottom of the pile, and they had to pull bodies out to get him in. Here's his reaction.
There's consequences for that kind of stuff, and that's the way it is in a game. You know, if you lose your cool, there's consequences. That hurts the team. So that was the message, and I think everyone understands that.
I think, Daniel, some people say, you know, starting quarterback, you know, kind of stay out of that. What made you want to run in and participate?
I'm part of the team, and I don't you know, part of the team, part of the offense, and we're competing, so I don't see myself separated from that.
Is that Daniel Jones talking there?
That sounded a little like Joe Judge, did it not?
That's what I thought. I thought it was Judge at first.
That is actually Daniel Jones, who decided it was important for him to get into the fray.
Yeah,
to show his teammates that he's tough. He's not going to back down from a fight either. The key is that I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback ever decide it was smart to get into a fight. Like, here's two big offensive linemen throwing blows at each other. The last thing, no one's going to shame a quarterback for not getting involved in the fight, ever. Kickers and quarterbacks, we don't want you. You may get hurt. You may hurt your hand. You may stub your toe if you're a little punter, a little kicker. You might not be able to kick the ball straight. So, no, you don't get into the fight, period. Nobody wants to see your ass there. This is for grown men, not babies. Daniel Jones.
That's just stupid for the quarterback to get involved.
I always think it's funny. Like, oh, I gotta show them that they can trust me, and I'm going to fight with them. No, we just kind of want you to get out of the way.
Trust me, there's other ways you can show that, right?
How about
you don't need to
pass?
Be fighting somebody on your own team. What is that, anyways? You jumping in? What are you going to do? Swing at someone? I always love like the throwing a punch to a guy's helmet. That's always smart, good. Right? Like a bare hand just punching someone's helmet.
That's so smart. It's so overrated because no one ever gets hurt. Like, baseball, no pads. Basketball, oh, you look out. But basketball, they're just babies. They're never really going to fight. But in football, they're actually trying to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
Yet you have gloves on, and he's got a helmet. And a mouth guard. He's got the ultimate protection. Like, nobody gets hurt.
So I think it's pretty obvious. We knew how Dan Campbell would react to this, right? And he had to be politically correct even for Dan Campbell, and that is, you go so far. I like it when they go so far, but I just don't want them to go off the edge. Joe Judge, on the other hand, said no need for fighting and practice or whatever. Is that a Belichick thing? Because Belichick, how often have there been fights, Christian, over the years of Patriots camp?
I mean, even the little ones that somebody gets thrown out.
Yeah.
Remember, we used to watch, and I think Edelman would get into a little skirmish with, it was always like, you know, when they were playing against another team, they were practicing another team. It wasn't even bad, and they'd kick him out of practice.
Well, if Bill doesn't like fights, then we know Joe Judge doesn't like fights.
Well, that's true, too.
Right?
You got to be a carbon copy of the guy that taught you everything you know. Like, what would Bill do in this situation? I wouldn't be surprised if he has a little, like, wristband on. So what would Bill Belichick do?
Oh, he was screaming yesterday, Joe Judge. The expletives were flying. He had guys doing laps for hours.
Why is his version of Bill's coaching style working and Matt Patricia didn't? Matt Patricia was having them do the same thing.
Wait, whose is working?
Joe Judge's. You're not hearing, you know, people write. Well, my point is, as soon as Patricia did it, you heard, you know, there was articles written about his coaching style and how crazy it was that he's making him run laps. So I haven't read one thing about that.
I don't know if you saw it last week, Kelvin Benjamin, right? Then they cut him, and that whole fake story of him eating, stealing food or something like that.
Yeah,
he went off food. And said, this guy will never win.
Yeah.
He thinks he's a hard ass. He thinks he's Bill.
Well, I mean, was he stealing food?
We might have been. He's a fat bastard.
So, I mean, there's a guy that's just pissed off that he got cut.
So I think the difference, too, is there still is not enough pressure on Joe Judge to win. There was pressure on Matt Patricia when he got there because they were close to being pretty good, right?
Lions? They were good.
Yeah.
They were a playoff team. They weren't a great playoff team, but they had a winning record.
So there was a lot more pressure on him. And then
it's New York, though, Glenn.
Yeah. It's New York.
It's New York.
Well, I'm not saying that Joe Judge has got a long shelf life here. I'm saying that I don't think it's quite hit yet. And people are still questioning whether Daniel Jones is a legitimate franchise quarterback.
He's a fighter, though.
Can't play Joe Judge.
I'm sure like Joe Judge will show some film of Daniel Jones getting into the fight, circle it, and be like, don't be this guy. Dope.
Boy, I hate to say it because I was not a big fan of Kemba Walker with the Boston Celtics. The New York Knickerbockers just might have gotten themselves an absolute steal. And I'm wondering if the same people who love Brad Stevens for getting rid of Kemba Walker feel the same way today. We'll get to some Celtics basketball coming up next right here on OMF.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Were the Knicks a serious consideration for you when you were a free agent this past year?
Be honest, yes. Yes. Very serious. Very. Mm-hmm. At one point, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like you said, before Boston actually came along, the Knicks was one of my top priorities, actually, because I was thinking that they were going to get another player, but it didn't work out.
You made the right choice, dog.
maybe not the right choice. Maybe not. So he signs the deal for 4 years. That's Kemba Walker. 4 years, $141 million with Boston. It doesn't work out. Why? Well, he doesn't fit what they're doing, and he can't stay healthy. He's got knee issues. So the Celtics end up trading him to the Thunder. The Thunder buy out his contract, so he's going to get most of his money. And he signs a deal for the New York Knicks, a team, by the way, that will be battling with the Celtics probably for one of those playoff spots. Mm-hmm. And he's on the same team now as Evan Fournier, but he signs a deal for $8 million. Jesus. It's a steal.
So you
well, a steal for the Knicks.
Yes.
For the Knicks, it's a steal. Yes.
And it really, people always say it's not about the money, right? It's not about the money, you know, with Al, whatever, right? You know, you got to stop looking at how much money they make. For $32 million, you want Kemba Walker on your basketball team?
No.
Okay, for $8 million, do you want him?
Yes.
Absolutely, right? I mean, it's the truth. It really is. It's the truth. $8 million bucks, sit every back-to-back. Fine. Whatever. Give me 50 games. Give me 55 games. Go out there and put up 18 and a half, 19, 20 points a game for $8 million bucks. Go look around the league who you're paying $8 million to.
Yep.
And compare Kemba Walker to those guys.
No, I would say he may be the most productive $8 million player in the league next
year. Players get $8
million. Now he's going to be talking about how he's underpaid.
Right. Well, he got all of his money from OKC. That's where the money came from. So if you look at where the Celtics are right now, because at $8 million, he would have been perfect for the Boston Celtics. Obviously, you can't do that. And great news today, though. They signed Enes Kanter to a one-year deal.
Yay.
Mark Murphy is claiming it's a veteran minimum.
Was that $2 million?
Yeah. So they got a guy who is willing to come to Boston one-year deal for nothing.
Yeah, he liked it here. By the way, speaking of $8 million players, Daniel Theis, 4 years, 36. So this is your $8 million player. Right? I mean...
Yeah. But the difference is...
I like Theis, but I'd rather have Kemba on my basketball team.
Yeah, the difference is Theis gets 4 years out of it.
Right. I'm just saying, as far as $8 million value, looking around the league, like, who makes $8 million? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh. So we discussed this the last couple of days, Christian, but it sounds to me like what's happening here with the Boston Celtics is that they would love to get Bradley Beal. They can't get Bradley Beal right now without giving up Jaylen Brown. They don't want to do that. So what they're going to do is they're basically going to go into next season with nothing. With nothing.
They're going to tank?
Well, what you see, I don't think they want to tank, but they may be forced to tank because they just don't have enough talent. Mark Murphy claimed yesterday that there's a good chance they won't even use the $5.7 million taxpayers mid-level this time around because they are now faced, they're $700,000 under the luxury tax level, and they don't want to do it.
So they don't want to go over the Celtics. Don't want to go over the luxury tax.
And why aren't the Green Team is pissed off about the fact that they don't want to go into luxury tax territory?
The Red Sox fans are pissed off at the Celtics for not going over luxury tax.
Exactly.
You never hear it in that league.
Isn't it unbelievable? But you look at that team right now, and unless Romeo Langford turns out to be a hell of a player, and the other kid, Nesmith, turns out to be a hell of a player, and Pritchett takes it to two levels above. I'm sorry. You know, Chris Mannix said it yesterday. They could very easily be a lottery team.
Yeah, I'm not. I have zero expectations for this team. The one headline I saw, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, any of you guys, has had to do with Marcus Smart and how the Celtics were okay with him being the guard.
Oh, that's been a roller coaster of a week. They wanted to get rid of him, more likely to trade than extend, and then yesterday it seems like it's the complete opposite.
Yeah,
I actually have no idea what to believe when it comes to Smart.
Here's what I believe. I believe the story that came out, because we all thought that he was a disruptive force. And Brad Stevens kept on defending him publicly.
He has to.
Now suddenly he takes
over.
Because
he'll yell at him.
Right. He takes over the job as the personnel guy. Yeah. And what happened? We suddenly get a story the other day, Tyler. I can't remember who it was. Was it Chris Mannix? Maybe it was Mannix, who said that Brad was not crazy about Marcus Smart.
And why?
Inconsistent Thank decisions.
You. Thank you.
Exactly. Everything we criticized him with all year long.
Yes, you can't trust him. You can't trust him. And then who better to know that than Brad Stevens? Right. How many times do you think Brad Stevens rolled his eyes at Marcus Smart? Like, on one hand, you gotta build him up and make sure that he knows that you think he's the leader, because he'll act out.
Yeah, but
he'll
you
hold
know what,
a grudge.
Though?
Okay. He'll pout.
Fine. You know what Brad Stevens, what that comment makes to me is like, what, you can't coach him? Like, again, this, thank God he's no longer the coach of this basketball team. Because now we find out, like, oh, I was getting frustrated with his inconsistent play. Well, why was he shooting so much, coach? You know, like, were you coaching him? Were you talking to him? Were you trying to talk him into maybe taking a few less shots? Or do we, again,
I don't
all
blame
year,
him for that.
Well,
I
you
don't.
Blame
him. I don't blame
the
him.
The guy was a spectator last year. Did not do a damn thing with this team. They talked about the high school offense, isolation ball. They couldn't play defense. They're all over the map. And now he's frustrated with Marcus Smart's play last year. Like, he had nothing to do with it.
No,
like he had no influence on him as a head coach
in
this league.
I think that there are certain guys, and you know this, Lou, that will actually take the coaching and they will go ahead and implement that into the game, right, the way you want it, because you're the coach. And there's other guys that say, I don't care. You can't tell me anything. With him, I think he went in and out of it. I think it depended on, like, what type of mood he was in or what he felt was better. He would, like, I'll do it your way now, then I'll do it my way. Or he would change course mid-game.
Yeah, but
like
how
in
was
a
that
quarter.
Not, how was that?
How frustrating do you think that is?
It's frustrating, but how is Brad Stevens not at least partially responsible?
My point
for
that? Is that I don't care who it is. Some guys are just, they don't care. If things are going great, and then everybody's happy. But when you're playing, when you have a team and that is just average, and then somebody decides they know what's better than you do.
So if you think it was
good luck.
Well, okay. If you think it was disruptive last year, what do you think it's going to be like this year if he's on the team? He's your main point guard. And by the way, from a skill set standpoint, he is your best point guard. On the other hand, he's going to be open all of the time. He's going to spend more time now at that position. And you know what? He's not going to pass the ball.
But you know,
he's going to shoot more.
I want to go back to what you say. Mark Murphy, like, could be a lottery team. I find
no,
that
it, was, it was Mannix yesterday.
Mannix. I find that extremely hard to believe. Now, if you're going to tell me that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum get hurt, I would say, okay,
yeah, well,
I
that's what he said.
But
he
I'm
said
just saying, had, yeah. but it's like, really, you've taken Kemba Walker out of the mix. Okay, but you know, and you what Fournier, you lost. I mean, you could say what you want about Al Horford and Enes Kanter and Robert Williams. But I don't know, does Williams get hurt? We count on him to get hurt. You bring in Josh Richardson, at least he can score. So to me, it's like, we'll see, it's not over yet. We'll see if they add another couple of pieces and get some veterans here. And maybe you have a better roster 6 through 8, 6 through 10, 6 through 13. Than you did last year.
Yeah,
when you talk about a lottery pick, Lynn, you're talking about a team like the Bulls, 31-41, like 10 games under .500.
The Bulls are a better team.
Okay,
than the
I'm
Celtics
just I'm just talking about
Knicks are a better.
You're talking
team
about
than
a team, a Celtics team that is like 10-15 games under .500.
They were a seventh seed last year, Lou. They are worse this year, and I disagree with you with Josh Richardson. I think it's a terrible acquisition. You're getting it from 1 year, and all this is clerical work. All we're doing is we're clearing the bottom
that.
Line
I just
for
don't
next
see
year.
Richardson, those two guys being on a team that's 15 games.
I tell you
there.
What, you
I don't it, see it.
You have both Marcus Smart and Josh Richardson out there in the court at the same time.
Maybe.
Good luck with your shooting.
Maybe.
Good luck with your shooting. Defensively, they'll be terrific. But shooting, they both suck from three-point territory.
You're kind of at the point. Aren't you almost at the point, too, every once in a while you got to just sort of look at the Celtics like roster? In depth chart and be like, okay, what is going on? You know what I mean? It just seems like the last week is like,
yes.
This guy's in, that guy's out. You're like, okay, what does it look like? I just say with Tatum and Brown on your team, I find it hard to believe if they're healthy all year, you're a 15 game under .500 type club.
Well, suppose
I just
lose,
don't see it.
Okay, suppose you lose one of those
well, that's
guys
a different
for
story.
15 or 20 games. And it's likely that, because you can look at the last couple of years, you have been losing those guys. Not for the entire season, but you lose them for 15 games. That, to me, is a problem. You need both of those guys to play close to 82 games and log an awful lot of minutes for you to even get where you are this past year as a 7th seed.
They're all-star players.
Correct.
So you shouldn't have two all-star players and be a team that's 15 games under 500.
I wonder if they have any interest in Aaron Baines. Aaron Baines was let go by Toronto today.
He's a
guy I'd be interested in.
The whole lottery team aspect has to do with, you know, possible injuries.
No, that's what we're saying.
That's what I'm saying. That's the only way.
If they're healthy, lose right. If they're healthy, they're a 7th, 8th. You can go 9 or 10
play
now
game,
with a play-in.
Whatever.
Right. They're 8, 9, whatever. But 9 and 10, remember, are still lottery teams. So they're a 7th seed. Could they possibly drop down 2 spots to a 9th?
I think it is possible. What's going to be interesting for me is, okay, so you're not a good team. You know it going in. There's 3 teams in the East that are definitely better than you and have all made huge improvements. I mean, just look at the Miami Heat alone. You can spend a ton of time there just on that team, and you realize that, okay, best case scenario, we're the 4th best team if we all play out of our minds and every move that we make ends up paying off dividends.
I think you're being extremely generous.
Oh, I am. All I want, I said best case scenario. Right. Best case scenario for them would be that.
Yeah, I would say that is going to be hard.
And that's
to
a horseshoe achieve. Up your butt right there.
And so
too.
I would say that we've had this conversation for the last couple of years that you need Tatum to suddenly become a top 10 player if you have any shot of getting up to the 4th seed. And I'm not sure that is necessarily going to happen. Let's go to the phone calls. Here's Jeff in Fall River on the Celtics. Jeff.
Hey, guys. So I just want to say Moses Brown from the Celtics. It's a shame that they let him go. I know you guys didn't really have that much high hopes for this kid, but I'm telling you, it's a better fit than Josh Richardson. Why Brad wanted to move Moses Brown when that's a clear need that the Celtics have.
Because they acquired Moses Brown, again, as a clerical move so they could use him to trade him somewhere else. What happened is the Green Teamers got excited when they said, oh, my God, Moses Brown. And they remember that one game against the Celtics,
Glenn.
Right, where he had this phenomenal game. He sucks. I'm sorry. He does.
So the plan, yeah. So we always talk about the future of Brown and Tatum. And now it's kind of here. It's like you're sitting these two in the room saying, listen, this year it is what it is. We're going to grind this thing out, play our best, try to improve, whatever. But this is the plan. The plan is to open up as much money as we possibly can next year to be a player. And we'll try to identify who that player is. But you got to eat it this year.
So right? How many times? Yeah.
And every move we make is about next year.
So exactly. And I'm not sure that goes over big with players, but how many times last year did we sit there and say, they don't have a 3rd or 4th scorer. Boy, they really could use Gordon Hayward, all right? Okay, they had Kemba, and then later on in the season they had Fournier, all right? Now you tell me if Brown is overplayed, if they come out and defensively shut him down or limit him and do the same thing to Tatum, who's your number 3 scorer now? Silence. Mm-hmm. They don't have one. They don't have a number 3 right now. And I think that is disastrous for them. And so you're right, Lou. The only way they're good, Christian, you talked about the 4th seed, is Tatum takes his game to that next level and Jaylen Brown takes his name. And I'm talking about a substantial jump in their game. They have to be a lot better than where they were last year. And because I don't see anybody else that can score unless they believe Romeo Langford or Nesmith suddenly emerges or something.
You do. You need, yeah.
Or
unfortunately,
Horford,
you need, you know, Romeo Langford. You need Nesmith. You know, you need Pritchard to be depth at point guard. You need Robert Williams to stay healthy. There's a lot of needs.
Enes Kanter.
But I wouldn't be shocked if Nesmith's a much better player. You know, Romeo Langford, will he stay healthy? And then maybe we'll find out what he really is. We have no idea.
Tyler brought this up yesterday.
But they're a lot more intriguing than Grant Williams and Semi Ojeleye. I'll say that much. Like, those guys just out of there what they are, right? Tremont Waters, Carson Edwards. Like, yeah, they are what they are.
Yeah, but they're deep down in the roster. What you ended up doing
Glenn, those are like 6 through 9 on your roster last year.
Yeah, but you lost number 3, number 4. That's what you've lost now, because Kemba Walker was probably your 3rd or 4th best player on that team. And what was Fournier? Probably 4th or 5th. And then you lost the starting center as well in Tristan Thompson. I'm sorry, Tyler brought this up yesterday. I forget, was it Andy Hart? Laughed at him when he talked about what are the big three right now. He was trying to go around the league, or certainly the Eastern Conference of the big three, matching them up. He had Al Horford as Boston's number 3. He's right. Ugh. But that's not a good number 3, because he's not even the same player he was two, 3 years ago.
Unfortunately, the number 3 needs to be smart. That is your big 3. He should be happy. Maybe he'll be in a good mood. Maybe he'll listen.
Did we ever put that poll up? Like, do they have the best big 3 in basketball with Brown, Tatum, and Horford? Did we ever put that
poll
up?
And then can you mention the Brooklyn Nets, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Miami Heat, the Milwaukee Bucks, Mavericks,
I don't appreciate the disrespect towards the fine time All-Star right now. Like, one of the best defensive big men. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but he can dribble up the court, too.
Can he?
He can play point. You know what I mean? I don't know if you guys realize what he does, that locker room, the great leader who led that Kyrie Irving team to fall apart, who led that Philadelphia team to collapse, like the great leader that he is. I don't think you have enough respect to him.
You know what his problem was in Philly? He didn't trust the process. He didn't trust it. Yeah, I don't need to say what you guys do. They trusted the process. It still backfired on him.
Well, if Mark Murphy is correct, and they're not going to spend any more money, and this is basically your team, their biggest problem with trying to unload Marcus Smart, because I'm sure they'd like to unload him and probably get a better point guard, somebody that they can trust a little bit more offensively, and maybe have Josh Richardson be that Marcus Smart defensively. The problem is, you got to get a team that's going to be willing to give you that expiring contract, because if you take on more money, then you're screwing yourself royally next year when you try to go out and get Bradley Beal. Talking about getting himself into a lot of trouble, the more you hear about Deshaun Watson, the more and more you question whether he's going to play football, and maybe not play football for a long, long time. It is really getting ugly. We update you on the latest with Deshaun Watson coming up next. Hold on 1 second. This hour has been brought to you by Isaacson Solar, Fourier's choice for solar. Check out IsaacsonSolar.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.